So, okay, I'm overwhelmed. I have a lot of work to do. I could hire somebody. Number one, who do I hire first? And two, what work are they going to do? And then how am I going to manage that person so that they're actually doing what I need to do? So trying, you know, that whole process is foreign to a lot of people and scary. And so a lot of times they just answer it with, well, I'll do it.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. I am Steve Fritzen, your host, and I'm just so happy that you're with us again today. We want to make sure that you're not only, you know, getting the work done, the billable hours and all that stuff, but we want to make sure that you're living the best life, that you're building something you can be proud of. And whether that's a legacy or that's revenue and that's just providing for your family, that's all good stuff. So we really try to bring on the top experts, rainmakers, experts in marketing, business development, time management to help you figure stuff out, maybe get some shortcuts, make less mistakes. If you're hearing us for the first time, you're not too familiar with Fritzen, what we do is only two things. We either help ambitious attorneys to learn business development as a skill, it's a learnable skill, and work with them to help them, you know, put methodologies and plans and processes in place to grow their law practice in a more sustainable way. Usually pretty dramatic growth is what we're looking for. And then the other thing is we currently run 5 peer advisory roundtables where you as a successful rainmaker can collaborate in a confidential environment with other successful, you know, million-dollar plus book, you know, builders. So check us out online at Fritzen.com. I've got Lewis waiting in the wings. How's it going, Lewis?
Well, it's going well. How are you?
All right. Good to see you. I had a good little pre-chat, and I think we're ready to rock and roll today. You are not only the founder of Pacific Cascade Legal, but you submitted a quote that was very near and dear to my heart because one of my favorite movies is Moneyball. I love Moneyball. I think you love Moneyball. And the quote is adapt or die. And so that must be kind of near and dear to your heart too. So talk about that quote and that movie, but then what does it mean to you in your life?
Yeah. I mean, adapt or die is what, I mean, I believe business is, right? Business is constantly changing and from COVID to whatever else. And if we can't be nimble and we can't adapt to the changing environment, then we go away. So, I mean, I love the movie. I just love, you know, the Billy Bean character where he just says adapt or die and, you know, small market club. So, you know, from a startup solo firm to taking on the more established firms in the area, you know, it's always about trying to be ahead of the game and doing things before other people and changing and pivoting when you need to.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I did a poll on LinkedIn and I published then a graphic and gave people sort of the results, but it was, you know, what are you most concerned about with the future of legal? And is it AI? And is it, you know, the non-lawyer owned law firms and a couple others, and non-lawyer owned law firms was a big concern. People are really worried that in certain states and at some point eventually, or maybe all around, that there'll be, you know, whether it's folks like me, non-lawyers, or actually like big companies like Deloitte and others that are going to, you know, be competing against lawyers for business. And that could be a real trick. So I think to your point, if we don't adapt, and you know, then, you know, we might just get left in the dust.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about your background, because I think it's going to resonate with people and also be a really important lead into kind of our topic today, which is, you know, really how do you scale up, you know, being a solo and then really getting that, you know, the business built out so you really have something, you know, behind you. So talk a little bit about kind of where you started and where you're coming from and where you are now.
Sure. So my background, I won't go back forever, but out of undergrad, I went into the corporate world. I was in sales management. And so I sort of cut my teeth at a young professional age of managing people, managing sales process. Then after about 8-10 years of that, I went back to law school, graduated in a market where there weren't a lot of positions available. And so had to just start doing it. So hung a shingle as a true solo and just started to, the marketing and that sort of thing. And I knew I wanted to find somebody, a coach, somebody who could help me apply what I knew from the business world to the legal world. And so I engaged coaches very early on. And really what I found out is that my background of sales background, I was really good at bringing clients in, and I was really good at being able to, talk to them about how to help them, in difficult times, and being able to translate to that, to them wanting to work with me to do the work. So that's really what my strength is. I still manage really the sales process in the firm, and I do almost all of the Oregon consults. We're in multiple states. And so I do that part of it because, one, I love it, two, I'm good at it, and I still can bring in a lot of clients to the firm.
Yeah. Was there one skill in particular that you worked with a coach on or that you identified in yourself that was really critical to saying, hey, I got this thing in me that is bringing in clients or that is getting them to say yes? And what would you say is like one thing that you really feel that you were doing well that helps to grow business?
Yeah, I think, with attorneys, I think the bottom line is asking for the business and not being afraid to have the money conversation, right? I'm very, clear about this is how much these things cost and giving wide goalposts and helping them understand the ins and outs, but really just being very honest and straightforward and not trying to, not trying to give a lot of legal speak and play a lot of, games or hide the ball or whatever, and just being very upfront and honest with people. And, if some people, they can't afford what we provide, then we give them a lot of referrals. And so, we give them referrals to go seek help. So we want to be able to help our potential clients as well as clients just have a very clear understanding of what the process looks like.
And I think a big part of that, and again, this is what I'm teaching every day, Lewis, is questioning and qualifying, right? And so if you question people and you can identify their pain, you can identify their fear, you can identify like what's going on, the urgency of it all, that's a big part of it. And then the second part of it is, how do we qualify the decision maker, their time frame, and then of course, the financial side of it and asking those questions that identifies, $100,000 out of the question, well, that's what this is going to take for this, multi-business owner for a divorce, for example, then they don't have that money or they're not even close, then, maybe, they refer it out. But I think that's a big part of it. Is that kind of what you've seen as well?
Oh, yeah, all the time. So it's really, urgency is a huge thing, especially in the divorcing world, because, there's not a lot of times where we legally tell somebody they need to do something. It's more of when you're ready. So it's helping them just understand what the downside of waiting potentially is, and then going through and helping them, really figure out what their issues are, how we can help them from a, sort of a broad strokes of how the legal world can help their problem. And then, the financial piece is really not just, this is how much money, but it's a problem that we both solve together. And so I talked to the clients about you don't want to fire us. We don't want to fire you. We want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So that's why we send invoices every 2 weeks so that they can see everything that's happening and really making that an open dialogue. And so people aren't hiding the fact that they're struggling or they can't necessarily come up with a payment. So that way we can work with them and we can move them through the process without having to withdraw. So we want it to be just a very, natural part.
It sounds like transparency is important.
Yes.
Yeah. And so talk to us a little bit about, you were a solo and you see other solos out there and many of them would like to scale. Like that's their goal or their dream is to scale from being a solo to having their own firm with people, right? With people that can do the work and let them, own a business, for example. Why do lawyers generally struggle with that transition of solo to running a small firm?
I think number one, it's the fear. Fear of unknown is always what holds. That's all, right? Whatever we're doing. And so I think a lot of solos, number one, feel like they don't know how. They don't know what they don't know. So they don't know how to manage people, how to set people up for success if they do hire somebody. The fear of payroll is real. The having to meet an obligation like that, where other people rely on you for putting food in their family's mouths, is a legitimate, you know, fear factor for a lot of people. And I think it also boils down to, they don't know how to define what somebody is going to do when they bring them on. So, okay, I'm overwhelmed. I have a lot of work to do. I could hire somebody. Number one, who do I hire first? And two, what work are they going to do? And then how am I going to manage that person so that they're actually doing what I need to do? So trying, you know, that whole process is foreign to a lot of people and scary. And so a lot of times they just answer it with, well, I'll do it. And, you know, that just keeps you as a solo. Every time you answer, I'll do it, well, then it's all everything's pointing back to you. And that's a true solo.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'll do it, right? So like, I'm working with lawyers all the time on delegation and letting go. And I think you're right that it's just so hard. But I was speaking to a friend of mine in the business, and he was talking about how critical it is to, you know, make a list of all the things that you do in a day. And he suggested putting a number next to it. So this is a $50 an hour job. This is a $20 an hour job. This is a $2,000 job an hour. And really start to identify, like, you know, yes, it's scary to let go and it's scary to delegate, but ultimately, how many hours are you putting into stuff that's under your pay grade, like way under your pay grade, like bookkeeping? I haven't had a bookkeeper, I don't think, since day one. I don't think I've ever done my own books. I review them, I oversee them, but I'm not sending out invoices. I'm not doing reading through my, bills and seeing, like, you know, how everything, you know, works and putting it into the right boxes. That's way under my pay grade. And I hope my bookkeeper's not listening because she's terrific, but, you know, you get the gist.
Yeah.
So what was your journey? Talk about your journey from solo to, you have 10 offices. Is that the case?
We have something like that, 7 to 10 offices, depending on. Yeah, we have some smaller offices. We have some larger offices.
Okay.
But yeah, we started as me by myself and then have grown from there. The two tools that I used to be able to do that was an org chart. You know, the actual exercise of going through and building an org chart, even when I was the only person, to understand who all of the people are that actually run a law firm. And if you're putting your name on all of them, you're still doing all of those things. So to your point about pay grade, I love doing it, you know, actually associating a dollar figure to it, because that makes it easier to sell yourself on why you should do it, right? But the other piece was, so your friends list, the way that he does it with dollar, what I would do is I did a list on Fridays for the following week, and I would list out everything that I had to do, and I would rate them in, one, who had to do it. So it wasn't just an attorney had to do it. It was, I had to do it, was one level. Then it was, an attorney can do it, any attorney. Then there was a paralegal, legal assistant, receptionist, bookkeeper, admin, all the way down, right? And there was a listing of who those people were. Receptionist was on that list, of course. And then it was also the priority level of all of those things for the next week. So it helped me to understand what was coming up, but it also started to build the, how much work was I doing in certain areas that I could, the easiest low-hanging fruit to go hire somebody who then would fix and basically make it so I didn't have to do that work. And so it was visual. I could see if I had a lot of reception work that I was doing, well, let's hire a receptionist. I didn't have as much of the fear to hire because I was used to managing people. So I didn't have that barrier to get over. But that was the main tool that I used actually for the first probably 5 years that helped me understand. I always talked about, I wanted to fire myself from the next role. What was I firing myself from next, right? And so those things that are those nagging, I hate to do that, would always get on the list. And then over time, I would create the position that would fire myself from those jobs. And so with the org chart, mapping that out, along with then figuring out what I was doing that I didn't want to be doing, that then those put together allowed me to figure out, okay, that type of person would then take all of this off my plate. And then that opens up to the dollar point. You know, if you say 10 hours a week that you're not doing reception work, well, you just build, you know, if your hourly rate's 200, you just build $2,000 more. You pay for that person on the week. They maybe, you know, cost you $300, $400. You're up, you know, $1,500 after tax. when you pay their taxes. So it was a easy visual exercise that allowed me to step back. They talk about working on the business, but even at the beginning, working on the business could be as simple as just doing an exercise like that that allows you to look at it from a different viewpoint. You're looking at it from an owner point of view, not from an attorney in the weeds point of view.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break to talk about how MoneyPenny is changing the game for lawyers who are losing business every day and may not even realize it. It's impossible to provide amazing client service when you have phone trees, voicemail jail, or untrained staff handling your phones. Every inbound call could be a new client to intake properly or an opportunity lost. With MoneyPenny, it's all but ensured the call will be handled exactly the way you want it every time. To take immediate action on this, write down this email and start your free trial. It's svj@moneypenny.com and just mention my name in the subject line.
With the help of Practice Panther, our office is more efficient than ever. We now provide an even higher level of service to our clients.
I've collaborated with Practice Panther for years, and I'm always hearing from happy customers just like that one. Practice Panther wants to save you up to 8 hours every week, and I want to save you money. All my listeners can get an exclusive discount, 50% off your first 3 months. Learn how your firm can boost productivity with automated workflows, custom intake, and native e-payments by visiting practicepanther.com/bethatlawyer to discover more and claim this deal.
Legalese Marketing is not your traditional marketing vendor. Instead, we're a true fractional CMO that helps you save time and spend your money the right way to build the practice of your dreams. We help through the entire process, from customizing your intake system to driving leads and even getting more reviews afterwards. Schedule your free call at legalesemarketing.com.
You know, the gentleman that I mentioned, you know, my friend that puts the dollar sign, I didn't mention his name, but he was on the show on a month or two ago named Marco Brown. He's got a family office in Salt Lake City. I'm going to connect you with him. I think you two would hit it off pretty well. But the other thing that he really talks about that I find is absolutely intriguing is the mindset of I'm a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, I'm a lawyer. And then he talks about how he had to like convince himself, I run a law business. I run this business. That's my time. That's who I am, not a lawyer. And it's hard because lawyers are so, and it's interesting too, like in America, that's how we define ourselves. I'm a coach, you're a lawyer. And in other countries, they don't do that. You know, it's I'm a father, I'm an artist, I'm a, you know, whenever it is, you know. But I think, you know, he said that mindset shift and of the just titling yourself differently made a big difference for him.
Yes. I was sort of the opposite. I always wanted to be the owner, and being an attorney was the vehicle to being the owner for me.
Yeah.
So I was never tied to the, I need to be an attorney to do these things. I looked at it and I was always drawn to the business side of things as opposed to the law side of things. So that was an easy shift for me. It was, it helped me push and grow faster because I wasn't necessarily like feeling like I had to do all of the work myself. But there were other challenges along the way.
Yeah. And you mentioned that the org chart and really understanding like, you know, you're in the right seat for you and who else can do, you know, the other things. And what you mentioned, there was one other really important point or tip about scaling. What was that? You remember?
I think it was the putting those two things together, but from a scaling standpoint, you know, the org chart really, you know, gave us the visual of where we were going.
Okay.
But then it was about, you know, being able to then, you know, grow from a geographical perspective. So putting the two together, and then the drive, I mean, mine, I sort of have an innate drive to fire myself from as many things possible.
Right. Okay.
You know, those things combined just sort of push things, forward as, quickly.
Okay. And this might go to what you already said. And if it did, we can move on. I've got a bunch of other questions, but were there any unique attributes that have allowed you to be a successful owner of a thriving law firm outside of the things you've shared already? Or I don't know if those are attributes so much as sort of, you know, the skills that you brought to the table.
I mean, I think the piece that really helped me the most at the beginning was just understanding that I had to fill in the gaps of figuring out what I didn't know, because I knew there was a lot that I didn't know. So it was not letting my ego, not letting other things get in the way of the fact of seeking out that information from other people and looking for it in mentors, in coaches, in all of these, you know, all of these places who are much better than, you know, than we are, and in surrounding ourselves with people who do their job better than we could ever do it, and not trying to replicate that and seeking that out, and not, you know, not worrying that, you know, I was saying, I don't know that, but I'm going to go figure it out. And so, you know, that really helped from the very beginning, and the mindset of just not having one of our core values is no ego, because, you know, it's like all the time the question, you know, people ask questions of me and I'm like, I don't know the answer to that, but I know how to find the answer. And it's okay not to know, and it's okay not to, you know, have all of the answers. But if you then can have these resources that you tap into and you know how to figure it out, then that's really how everything works anyway.
And it sounds like, you know, what I keep hearing on this show over and over, and again, I'm not trying to be like a shameless plug for my services, but I think mentors and coaches, it keeps coming up, and I wonder why. Well, I think there's people that do just suffer silently with trying to figure it out themselves, and there is an ego, and it's not something that they're willing to make an investment in. They don't either see value in it, or they don't see that it's something that they need to pursue, and then they just sit there for years and years kind of on a hamster wheel struggling with the same problems year after year. I just don't understand the mindset. I don't think, I know for a fact I wouldn't be where I am today without having a coach and mentor. So I just don't understand. What do you think is the mindset of people that are not willing to ask for help?
I mean, I think one, there's, you know, fixed mindsets, of course, where people think they just, I mean, I think specifically in the attorney world, people think, oh, how difficult that can that be? I'll figure it out, yeah. Right? It goes back to the, I'll do that. Well, then if you're answering, I'll do that all the time, you tap out of your, you know, of your ability and your expertise. You know, we don't go hire, you know, as a business owner, we don't go hire a divorce firm if we need a business attorney. We go to the expert and we go to the business attorney. Well, it's the same of being able to unlock your sort of that fixed mindset of saying like, okay, there, I don't know what I don't know. And so I need to go find that information. And I think a big part of it is people just don't know sometimes that there are these options out there. They think, well, that's going to be too expensive. That's going to be too difficult for me to do, instead of picking up the phone and asking the question and figuring out if it's too expensive or if it's too difficult. And there are coaches for all different levels of not just law firm, but any business. And so being able to tap into that expertise has been huge. And it catapulted, you know, our firm every step of the way from, you know, zero to, you know, pushing 10 million and being able to, you know, really, you know, grow a firm and make a business that's not, you know, that if I get hit by a bus tomorrow, the firm continues. You know, it's a true business and it's not a practice anymore.
And the other point is, you know, who ends up making more money and having the better life? Is it the attorney that's doing 2,000, you know, plus hours a year, no business development, or the one that's actually building a couple $1 million dollar book of business, maybe does 1,000 hours a year, 1,400, and, you know, actually has, you know, higher revenue and more money put away and probably has a lot more time off, right?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on your practice, obviously. It depends on how you do it. But yeah, the it should work that way. You know, we don't need to get into the probably all the nuts and bolts of profit and how many people you're hiring.
Right.
Growing too quickly sometimes, and that can eat into profit. But in general, yeah, you're going to grow your, not only your revenue and your dollars, but you're going to grow your, you know, just ability to go on a vacation, your happiness, and you're going to also, you know, grow your influence, because not only are you only able to help, you know, 50 people a year, you're able to help hundreds, thousands of people a year because you've got, you know, you have more people doing that work.
Yeah. And what are there any either technologies, automations, or systems that you're using that have helped you to free yourself up and delegate better, or free yourself up from mundane things that you used to do?
I mean, at this point, we have a whole suite of things that we use. You know, we still use Clio for case management, but there's a lot of integrations that work through Clio. Really, I mean, at this point, I mean, I'm kind of spoiled at this point. I don't really have to do much of the day-to-day other than I only look at email, I've got a calendar, and I get reports from people. That's about what I do.
Okay.
Along the way, I'm trying to think of what technology really was like unlocked certain things as we move forward. I mean, really just, we're all on Zoom, we're all on Teams, we're all on, case management really helped a lot. Marketing was really our sort of expertise compared to our competitors that were at the same level along the way. So really, getting a email, drip marketing and all of that, that's really what, digging into marketing is really what catapulted us the most, the best.
Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all. That's, I think a combination of business development and marketing is a terrific way to make sure that you stay sustainable. And again, then, you can do less of it over time because you build up that momentum with it. Any additional advice that you have for solos who are like in that pivotal moment where they can, they have enough work where they can hire an associate or they can bring in a paralegal or do something to kind of start to scale and start to build out?
I mean, I think the first thing is to really just figure out what do you want in 5-10 years? Do you want to be still grinding every day, or do you want to have the ability to take a week off and not answer client emails and client, phone calls? If you don't have kids, think about, when you have other people that you need to, think about and being able to take an afternoon off and go to the ballpark and watch your kid play or, whatever it is, whatever you're interested in. If you can trade your time, time is the only thing that we can't buy more of. That's not necessarily true, but there's a finite resource. But
yeah,
the way that we buy more time is to pay people to do what we no longer have to do ourselves. And so being able to really monetize what that means for you as a person to no longer have to do those tasks, it starts to add up really fast. And it's eye-opening and it's a huge weight off your shoulders when, things move without you having to be involved. My dream is just to always make money when I'm sleeping. And so that's my goal eventually is to have that working in the legal world.
Yeah. And that's sort of the definition of a real business once you've scaled. Really great stuff. I so appreciate that, Lewis. And I want to wrap things up today with your game-changing book. And this is one that hasn't been mentioned on the show. And I just was excited to have you talk a little bit about Fans First. What's that book about?
Yeah. So Fans First, it's by Jesse Cole. Jesse Cole is the owner of the Savannah Bananas. And for those of you who don't know or aren't sports fans, well, sports is my big thing I do outside of work. But the Savannah Bananas is a minor league team down in Savannah, Georgia, that basically does everything opposite of what baseball is. They have their own baseball, it's fast, it's fan. The fan experience is what it is. They dress up in yellow tuxedos. The food and the alcohol is in your tickets. So they just make it about having a blast at the ballpark. The book is really about how to apply that and have raving fans about any business and your law firm and really doing things differently to then put your fans first. So that way they want to refer their people back to you. Savannah Bananas are sold out for like 2 years in advance at this point. They've got waiting and it's all, minor league baseball does not have sellouts. And they just have created this whole following and now they're traveling throughout the country. It's a great read, great energy coming through the pages and just a fun book.
Yeah. Well, everybody check out Fans First. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm definitely going to be YouTubing some videos of the Savannah Bananas just so I can see what you're talking about. Cause I think I've seen a clip of them dancing in the in the outfield, but I want to get a couple more clips. If people want to get in touch with you, Lewis, and reach out to you either to refer you, you know, family work or anything like that, what are some of the best ways to reach you?
Yeah, easiest way, our phone number, obviously, 503-227-0200. From an email standpoint, I have a couple of them, but the easiest one is just Lewis at Pacific Cascade. That one's at PacificCascadeFamilyLaw.com. That's an easy way to get a hold of me.
Awesome, awesome. And I appreciate you being on the show. And before we wrap up, I also want to thank our sponsors, of course, Legalese, helping to, you know, get the marketing and software training off your back and just take care of that for you. MoneyPenny, of course, not only on your website with live chat, but also answering your phones. And so you don't have to hire a receptionist with MoneyPenny. And of course, Practice Panther, the easiest way to set up shop and get scaled up with a software system there. So they're fantastic friends of the show. Lewis, awesome, man. Thank you so much for being on the show. I mean, so many great takeaways and things that lawyers that are really interested in scaling can lean into. And even the ones that I think are currently scaled up or have 10 employees or anything can take a lot away from this conversation. So really great.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, appreciate it. And everybody, thank you for spending some time with Lewis and I today. I hope you got some great takeaways. I've got my usual page of notes and, I've got a bunch of things we're going to throw up on the, on the social media with the conversation today with Lewis. Again, if you're a fan of the show, please don't be shy about giving us a nice review or 5 stars on your phone. And remember, this show, as you know, it's all about helping you be that lawyer, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care, everybody. Be safe, be well, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer. Life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, Fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.